Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 7. And he called unto them the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money for their purse, in their purse. But be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. All right, so we're going to change gears and we're going to talk about another thing that happened. And King Herod heard of him, that is Jesus, for his name was spread abroad. So the disciples went out and started preaching Jesus. And word gets around to Herod that Jesus is preached. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth of themselves. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. So Herod is getting paranoid and thinking that this man that he has killed is coming back to haunt him, so to speak. But Jesus sent his disciples on a discipleship journey to go out into town and preach. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And he said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent for an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought in, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples, that is John the Baptist's disciples, heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. So Jesus' disciples is out preaching. They're working really hard. And John's disciples are grieving because of the death of their master. And now it goes back to Jesus' disciples, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a little while. You guys have worked really hard. Let's take a break. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So come take a break. We're to go to a private area, and we're going to get something to eat, and we're just going to take a break. And they departed into a desert place by ship, privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Let's look at verse 34 now. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, was moved with compassion towards them, because they was sheep not having a shepherd. That leads me to believe, based on this transition, that a lot of those people was probably John's disciples, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So these people were heavy-hearted. They were looking for answers. They found the apostles, and the apostles led them to Jesus. And these disciples of John the Baptist was looking for Jesus now in this private area. And where they found him, Jesus was moved with compassion for them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. They didn't have their master anymore. And so he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into a country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. They're saying, Lord, we're hungry, they're hungry, send them away so we can have our break, so that we can eat our meal, so that these people can eat, and we'll all be happy. But Jesus had other ideas. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. So here you see weary disciples of Jesus. They're ready for a break. They're ready to get them a meal for once. And then Jesus sees John's disciples coming to him. They're weary. They've been through emotional hard times. And they're weary physically and emotionally. And his disciples is saying, send them away. Send them back to town so that they can eat and we can eat too. Jesus said, well, let's all eat together. Because the Lord, he can meet all needs all at once, right? The title of this message is called Bread for a Weary Soul. So the Lord saw the needs of the disciples and he met that need. He saw the need of the 5,000 and met that need. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Not too long after that, the disciples had been through a lot. John chapter 21. Understand by now, in John chapter 21, Jesus had appeared to his disciples twice. They know he is risen from the dead, but they still wanted a break. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So understand, they knew the Lord was risen from the dead, but they still wanted just to get away and go fishing, and they caught nothing. They've worked all night. They were physically tired. They've been through a lot in the past few days. They were emotionally drained, and they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shores, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw the fire of coals, and there, and fish laid thereon in bread. They didn't even have to clean fish, because the Lord already had fish on the coals. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, and hundreds and 53. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these other disciples? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the reason why he asked them that is because Jesus said, I'll die with you. Peter said, I'll die with you. Did Peter die with him? Nope. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Jesus asked Peter three times, Do you love me? Peter denied the Lord three times that dreadful night that the Lord was crucified. But he asks him three times, Do you love me? And after asking him three times, Do you love me? All three times he says, Feed my sheep. Understand that there is bread for a weary soul. The Lord wanted Peter to know, I know you love me. I forgive you. And I still have a job for you to do. Your work here on earth is not yet finished. You've been through a lot emotionally. You're hurt and you're depressed. You have a job to do. Feed my sheep. But for right now, come and dine. While you were down, while you were depressed, come and dine. But whenever you're done, feed my sheep. There is bread for a weary soul. Rest is only meant to be temporary, but labor is supposed to be happening all the time. Amen. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll read of another person who was weary, and the Lord fed him many times. Every time he was weary, the Lord took care of him. 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, Elijah prayed, and God shut heaven up, and no rain was happening, and he went to King Ahab, and gave him a what for, and then the Lord said, Run. Because whenever you stand up to a king, you're going to get your head cut off. So, he says, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I don't know off the top of my head how many miles that was, but that is not a short hike. And if you've looked at Samaria on a topographic map, it's not flat. Have you ever run full speed up and down mountains? It's exhausting. So, and it shall be, in verse 4, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and fish in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah took a stand for the Lord. He was a laborer for the Lord, and he ran a long ways to get away from a king for taking a stand, but the Lord took care of Elijah through all that. Now the brook is dried up. What's Elijah going to do now? Let's look in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Jeremiah was physically weary. This woman was emotionally weary because she is trying to take care of her son, and she is realizing me and my son are going to starve to death. So if you can imagine, that is an emotional time for her. And if you can imagine through Elijah, he is very tired. But we're going to read how the Lord takes care of all of them and gets them through their physical and emotional weariness. There is bread for the weary soul. And he said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me
and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of the oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That's faith right there. And he went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So the Lord gave food for a weary soul and gave them rest, because God had a job for Elijah to do later on. Whenever you are weary, there is bread for the weary soul. You see where I'm going with this? So God has a plan for Elijah later on. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. Elijah shows himself back to Ahab. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troublest Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, as thou hast followed Balaam. And therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. That is a total of 850 prophets, plus a king. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came down all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. All right, let's skip down to verse 36. He gets a bull, and they get a bull, and he says, Whoever sends fire down to consume this bull, that's God. Verse 36, And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, and hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. And when the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was on the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is God. So after this moment of physical weakness, the Lord nourishes him, and now he's able to take a stand against the king of Israel and 850 prophets. The Lord later used him in a great and mighty way. You may be going through some tragedy right now. You may be spiritually weary right now. But let me tell you, friend, there is bread for the weary soul that can help you get back on your feet so that God can use you in a great and mighty way later. Not long after this victory, Elijah gets down again. Let's look at chapter 19. First Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel, that is his wife, all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Now understand, these prophets used to sit at Jezebel's table. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw that, he arose. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. I've had enough. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Elijah stood before 850 prophets and a king like a man, and now he's running from a girl. He is running from a girl. Lots of times, we get defeated not long after a big victory. We have a big victory, and we come off of our spiritual high from the victory, and then our legs get caught out from under us. And we get discouraged, we get down, and we look at God and say, "I have had enough." Just like Elijah did. We've all been there. Let's look at verse 5. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down." So he ate and laid back down. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" He's saying, God is not done with you yet. You may be in the pit of despair right now. You may be down on life, but the journey's too great for you. Don't stop here. Don't stop here. "The journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and he went in the strength that the meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" He thought that he was all alone. He thought that he was the only person in Israel that had the truth still. He thought that truth was going to die with him. He thought that if I die, truth will die with me. "And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains." What an event. "And break into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." That's another big event. But the Lord wasn't in it. "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." The Lord can be in the small things, can't he? "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left.'" He still thinks he's the only person left that holds on to the truth. "And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, 'Go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Helah, after thou anointed to be prophet in thy room. So there is another person that's going to continue truth long after Elijah's gone. And he was sitting there thinking, well, I'm the only person left holding on to truth. He said, there's a prophet that's going to take your place long after you're gone. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's what the Lord promised. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah wasn't alone after all, was he? And all that big fit that he threw was for nothing. But despite him throwing a little fit and saying, I'm done, I give up, the Lord gave him bread for a weary soul and said, I'm not done with you yet. Yet have I left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He didn't find him in the universities, did he? He didn't find him in the lawyer's office, did he? He didn't find him in the courthouse. He found him out in the field working. Found him a little plowboy. Before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Truth was not going to die with Elijah. Truth was passed on to Elisha, and there were 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone either, friend. You are not alone either. But there are times whenever we get in our feelings, there are times whenever we get in our mood and we get discouraged, we get ready to give up, but the Lord gives us a little moment of encouragement. He gives us bread for a weary soul. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Whenever we get our strength from the bread for the weary soul, we got to get back on our feet and fight. Jeremiah 20, verse 1. We'll read about another discouraged prophet, Jeremiah. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor of the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. So Pashur was a very authoritative person, and he hears little Jeremiah prophesying. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass in the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormisabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. You're going to see this. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. So the Lord is leading Jeremiah to prophesy some very, very, very negative messages, and people aren't taking it very, very well, are they? And thou, pasture, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, whom thou hast prophesied lies. He is telling him, you are a liar, and by you prophesying lies, you are going to lead all these people astray. And little Jeremiah was prophesying negative things because Judah was in a state of utter rebellion. But Pasher wanted to pat him on the little head, didn't he? O Lord, thou hast deceived me. This is Jeremiah talking. He turns to God. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. And I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more his name. He is saying, I am done preaching. But, whenever you hear the word but, you might as well discount everything that you heard before. He said, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He is saying, his word is a fire burning in my bones, and I'm not giving up. I'm not going to put it down. I'm going to keep preaching, and ain't nobody going to stop me, because there was bread for a weary soul. The word that God gave him comforted him, and he says, I'm going to keep on going. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Not everything that the Lord gave Jeremiah was negative. Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write them into their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What a thing to know that the end is not going to be a bad thing. To know that there are good things coming. What a comfort. There is bread for a weary soul. Let's look at verse 26 of 31. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. The weeping prophet finally got him some sleep. Imagine him laying in bed at night, worrying himself sick for his kinsmen, worrying himself sick for his brethren. Pretty hard to get some sleep whenever you're up at night worrying, whenever you're up at night weeping. The weeping prophet finally got him some sleep. You may be discouraged right now. You may be going through a period of tragedy. Maybe a tragedy has happened in your life and you are totally emotionally distressed and you don't know what you're going to do. Maybe you're just weary from the labor, like the disciples were at the beginning of this. You've been working for the Lord and you're not seeing results. You're tired and you just want to give up. Maybe you're struggling with a besetting sin. You thought that you've gotten victory over it, and then finally you find yourself on your face and you're saying, Lord, how can I fall back into this? Let me tell you, there is bread for a weary soul. The Word of God will comfort you in your time of emotional despair. You may be in the trenches of despair. You may be in the depths of depression. You may be in the valley of woe and weariness. But let me tell you, friend, the Lord is right there in the valley just like He is right there in the mountaintops. Sometimes you can't feel things. You can't go by feelings. You got to go by faith. Whenever you can't feel it, you got to faith it. Take God at His word. There is bread for a weary soul. There's also bread for the weary soul if you're lost. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6. Verse 35. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Maybe you're a weary soul because you are weary from the debt of sin. You're weary from the chains that's holding you down in sin, and you're ready for those chains to break. The Lord promised that there is bread for a weary soul. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Maybe you're in here today and you're saved and you know you're saved, but you are down and out. You are distressed. You're burnt out and you're tired and you've had enough. Understand that God's word is sufficient. He will get you through those valleys. He will get you through those hard times. Just take God at His word for right now. Don't go by your feelings. Have faith. The Lord is with you always. But understand this. Whenever you get back off of your knees, whenever you get back on your feet, understand that the Lord's not done with you. The journey's too far for you to stop here. Keep going. The Lord's with you right now in the valleys, just like He is on the mountaintops. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for everybody that's here. I pray that this was a comfort to somebody. I don't know who, but I just pray that it was a comfort to somebody. And I just pray that You touch everybody here. In Jesus' name, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you give it to the Lord today? I invite you to come.